and for your great love for us, that you truly designed motherhood, that when it is working at its best, it is a true reflection of your character, how you think and how you feel towards us. Lord, I pray that in whatever state we are in today, that you'd help us to come humbly to your word and to seek to understand it, to seek to grow from it. I pray that you would help us to get closer to you today and to take action based on what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, at times we will take a book from the Bible and take it one chapter at a time, one passage at a time. We are actually going to today just kind of introduce a new series that we're going to be in actually until June 30th. And I want to say something to you very quickly as your pastor. For those of you maybe new today, my name is Ben. I serve as pastor here. You're at City Bible Church. That's why we go to the Bible. It's city. We're in the city for the city. Bible Church. And I want to say this now because I know that some of us with our jobs, we can't make it for every Sunday. You are not going to want to miss June 30th. Please plan to be here June 30th. Okay, commercial over. I think that if I were to sum up all of the things that as a pastor and, you know, I've served in this role in different capacities for more than 12 years now, if I were to sum up the things that I get asked about the most, really doesn't have a whole lot to do with the theology of God or the Bible. I think what I get asked about the most is relationships. Now, I don't know if I would be asked about it as much if not for the fact that Rebecca, my beautiful wife and the amazing mother of our children, didn't choose Jesus every day. Because she chooses Jesus every day, she's a better Jesus follower. She's an amazing woman. Her inner beauty really comes out, and she makes me look good. You know, and because she chooses Jesus every day, it helps us live in such a way that I think exhibits love gives. And that's really a Bible principle. It's a God thought. It's a Jesus thought. It's a thought that works. And I think that it's personal relationships that we get asked about the most. And so we're going to walk through different kinds of relationships and open our Bible and see what our Bible has to say about it, because God cares about you. God loves you. And He designed us to be wired for relationship. You know, our big three that we talk about here, let me go there just real quick. Our big three and kind of how we express why we exist and how we evaluate if anything that we're doing is working is connect, grow, share. And if we put that into a sentence form to make it easier to understand what we mean by that, is we're here to be helping people connect with Jesus, grow in faith, and share His love. Now, it's also to help you connect with other people, particularly life-giving relationships or people that don't pull you down, right? That's one of the things that we want to do. We want to help connect you with other people. And it's frustrating to be disconnected, right? It's life-giving to be connected to the right people and to be connected to Jesus. That's a really great time to say amen. Amen is a good way to help you stay awake. All right. Amen meaning I agree. Okay, anyone agree with me? Can I see a show of hands? Anyone agree? Okay, good. So that's a part of our express purpose. It's a part of the express purpose that we see in the Bible that God has for setting us forth. It's a part of how we were, why we were created. If we look at Genesis 1, 26 through 28, we see that we not only have, as the historical church would express, the Imago Dei, we are created in the image of God. But we also have the Missio Dei, or we are created with a mission from God. Every one of us. We have purpose. Life has purpose. Okay? Right. Life has purpose. Now, in that, our interpersonal connections, our interpersonal relationships are important. God has something to say about it, and they are for our benefit. Now, relationships are really the fabric of life. Relationships certainly can bring hurt. And relationships certainly can bring life. And over the course of your life, relationships change. Right? Relationships change. Now, I want to use three pieces of literature, if you will, today, to help us learn a little bit more about the nature of God, who He is, how He thinks about us, how He feels about us, and how that's reflected in Jesus and in motherhood. Now, of all the subjects I talk about over the course of the year, this is probably the one that I'm the least qualified to speak about. You might not be aware. I am male. I am not a mother. I've never given birth to a child. I don't know what that is like. I've stood nearby, but I don't know what that's like. But I want us to look at three things and consider the nature of God and the nature of motherhood the way that God intended it. Are you ready? You okay? Psalm 139. I'm going to read from the New Living. O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place Your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from Your Spirit. I can never get away from Your presence. If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I go down to the grave, You are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there Your hand will guide me and Your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from You. To You, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to You. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank You for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are Your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, You are still with me. O God, if only You would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme You. Your enemies misuse Your name. O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate You? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose You? Yes, I hate them with total hatred, for Your enemies are my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends You, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, that last verse, which is a wonderful passage, we have a prayer card available out in the area where the refreshments are that will really walk you through that. It's wonderful. I really would recommend that you take advantage of it. But the bulk of this chapter, he's writing about the realization that God knew him before he was born. And that God knows him in an intimate way. You know, when you're intimate with somebody, they know you when your hair is good and when your hair is bad. Right? And God knows us. He knew us even in the womb. Now that's an amazing, when we look at motherhood and we look at that whole journey, we need to consider that journey is God's idea in its glory and in its challenges. Now, you ladies can take up with Eve when you get to heaven the fact that the pain of childbirth is a part of the curse of sin. I wonder what childbirth would be like if sin weren't in the picture. We wouldn't need an epidural, right? One thing that I think is important for us to consider today is that God knew and God knows. Now, I don't know, you know, I think it's brave for some of you to even come to church on a Mother's Day morning because you know what it's likely to be about, and it doesn't bring good memories for you. Because as you know, Jesus talked about, and the Bible talked about, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And there are consequences to the words that we say, and every mom is also human, and not every mom responds the right way. And there are times where moms will say hurtful things, do hurtful things, live in a way that is hurtful. And I just want to stand today and say that that's not God's intent. That when God knew every baby in the womb, and I want to clearly say, regardless of whom I vote for, whom you vote for, that the human life and that the spirit is very much alive in the womb. In the womb. That the very process of carrying an infant, 37 to 40 weeks, is God's idea. That process is God's idea. It's our friend Mark. That's God's idea. And regardless of what your journey has been with your mom, whether it may have been very life-giving or not, God knows and God knew. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And God loves you. And guess what? God is without weakness. God is without sin. Do you understand? When God loves you, He is without weakness, He is without sin. His love doesn't expire. That's the way that God loves you. And when you experience that kind of love through your mother, that is God's love coming through her to you. Right? That's God's love for you. And God's love for you is intimate. Now, when you look at yourself in the mirror, this should change what you see. You should no longer see the things about yourself that you don't like. You should see this is a person that God loves. Bad hair, good hair. Or if you're like me, you don't know what to do with hair. Thought God would have taken it from me by now. Right? God knew you. He knew your hairs in the womb, right? And He knows you today. God loves you. And so your identity should not be caught up in words that have been said to you or about you, but your identity should be caught up in that the Creator of the universe loves you. That He cares for you. He knew you in the womb. He knew you throughout your past of your life, and He knows you today. There is a reason that the Bible word for sexual intercourse is no. There is a reason for that when a man and a woman are too close to each other for words to still be expressed. When you're in that intimate space, that the Bible word for that is no. It's a knowing in an intimate way. And what we think about emotionally in that intimacy of knowing that into me He sees, that's the relationship that God had in mind between you and Him. And maybe you would be a little easier on yourself. Maybe you'd cut yourself a break. Maybe you'd lighten up a little bit. Maybe you'd be a little less insecure. Maybe you'd be a little bit less worried about the future. Maybe you'd be a little bit more secure in who you are, able to accept that compliment if you were a little bit more aware that the living God loves you and loves you in an intimate way. Are you with me? That's God's love for you. It's His. That's the way that He loves you. That's the way that He cares for you. There's a great benefit to life experiences that bring you into a dependence on God. Now, I've been nearby motherhood, but I can say as a father that entering into parenthood will drive you to your knees. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You will say, I don't have what it takes to do this. I need God in my life. Right? Yeah. Any life experience that brings you into a place of dependence on God, there's a benefit to that. Because if you get closer to God through it, you're stronger. You're more at peace. You have more joy. Now, I want to read you a story. It's called The Giving Tree. It's from Shel Silverstein. And I think that there's a great allegory here that helps us absorb, grow, get a little bit closer to the way that God loves us and also to motherhood. I am not, however, going to read it like Tracy Morgan. It's called The Giving Tree. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk. This is a little easier when I have a child in my lap. And swing from her branches and eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. And we see two pair of feet under the tree. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree. Money doesn't grow on trees. "But I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, come climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house, but you can cut off my branches and build a house, then you will be happy." So the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I'm sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I'm too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. You cannot climb." "I'm too tired to climb," said the boy. "I'm sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump, and I'm sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy. "Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired." Well, said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The end. Now, this story is kind of a modern American classic that my mom read to me and that, you know, I really did not understand for quite a while. But I do believe that it well expresses the agape love, the sacrificial love that God has shown us in Jesus. And I think that's a part of why it connects with us, right? Because real love is long and steady and true and faithful and giving, expecting nothing in return. And when parenthood is at its best, it is the same. When a mother's love is at its best, it's the same. When a mother like Rebecca chooses Jesus every day, it's possible. It's possible. And it's life-changing. One of the things that my mom would say to me every night when she would put us to bed was, Jesus loves you and has a special plan for your life. And you know, that changed my identity and how I viewed myself. It affected me in a big way. And it affects how I relate to other people. And it affected how I felt about how my life would turn out. I found out that Mom didn't say that because she thought it was a good idea. Mom was, she's been a college professor for a long time and an author and many other things. And she had learned in this search of her different topics that Muslims take very, very seriously the mother's words to the children. That one of the things that Muslims do is that every day they say to their children, Allah is God and Muhammad is our prophet. Every day. Every day. And she said, you know, there's a transferable principle because there's death and life in the power of the tongue. And so every day my mom would say to me at night before I would go to sleep, Jesus loves you and has a special plan for your life. And through that, in my own personal relationship with Jesus, my life was changed. It was affected. I want to read you a story. Some of you will know who Corrie ten Boom is. How many of you would know Corrie ten Boom, The Hiding Place? Corrie ten Boom, well-known speaker and heroine of the anti-Nazi underground, had a different experience with her mother. She wrote, Mama could have coffee on the stove and a cake in the oven as fast as most people could say best wishes. And since she knew almost everyone in Harlem, especially the poor, sick, and neglected, there was almost no day in the year that was not for somebody. As she would say with eyes shining, a very special occasion. I wonder if it was through this impartation that Corrie ten Boom received the grace and kindness to give to the poor, sick, and neglected later in life. She tells this story in the end of her autobiography. It was at a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS officer who stood guard at the shower room door in the processing center at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I had seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there, the room full of mocking men, heaps of clothing, Betsy's pain-blanched face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein, he said. To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away. His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people of Blumenthal the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder along my arm and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not our forgiveness any more than our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. Yes, it was both Christ's forgiveness and the compassion of Corey's mother for the poor, sick, and neglected that had graced her own life with supernatural love for this enemy. The SS officer had left an indelible mark on Corey's soul, not one that was easily forgiven. This was a pivotal point in her life, and as she reached out to Christ, he reached back to her. In an instant, a firebrand touched her heart, healed her wounds, and imparted love itself. From this time on, she was free to impart that same grace not only to the wounded she identified with, but also to the wounded beyond her natural ability to love, whom Christ died for as well. See, when motherhood is at its best, it is very much blended in how God feels about us and how God thinks about us. Right? That's what it is to be. Out of these, I want you to understand a couple of very simple things. God does not set us about to live a giving love that will exhaust us, leave us empty and dead. God sets us about giving in a way that brings us life, fulfillment, purpose, and joy. Now, this might seem counterintuitive because parenthood is exhausting. I mean, I thought that I was starting to grow up and not be as selfish before I got married. I got married and realized that was not the case. I was still very selfish. Then we'd been married for a while. I was starting to feel like, okay, I'm growing up. I'm not as selfish as I was before. And then we started having kids. I was like, whoa, I'm still very selfish. And I have at times come to a place where it's exhausting. But I find that when I'm in that place, it is because what I have been giving away is me and not God. When I am about giving away His love, it's not exhausting, does not leave me giving on empty, living on empty, ministering, serving out of empty. But when I'm giving Him away, He's an inexhaustible resource. He doesn't run out. Mary's response in hearing about her pregnancy is so very, very helpful. Luke chapter 1, verses 37 and 38. She quotes a scripture in saying, nothing is impossible with God. And for all those parents or prospective parents here today, I want you to hear this. This is an important response for you in parenthood. Nothing is impossible with God. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I think sometimes we need to stop life and focus on the promises of God. Let that be bigger in our eyes than everything else and say, okay, God, may your promises come true. Now that means that at times we have to stare impossible circumstances in the face, painful circumstances, difficult, exhausting circumstances in the face, and yet say, nothing is impossible with God. And Lord, may everything that you have said come true. That's our faith response. That is where we should be. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Praying God speaking here, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, some of us need to memorize that and pray that on the daily. Right? God, your grace is sufficient for me. In my weakness, you are strong. See, God has provided us tools, God has provided us grace, He's provided us help that can leave us in a place where we're better off. How many of you believe that? Right? God leaves us in a place where we're better off. I want to leave you with some simple thoughts. Moms, look at Mary and find your Elizabeth. Look what Mary did during her pregnancy. She went to Elizabeth. She found someone who knew her, who understood her, and was a strength to her. Mary, find your Elizabeth. And second, I want to suggest, enjoy your family. God enjoys His kids in whatever state we are in. Now, do we at times cause Him sadness? Sure. But God enjoys His kids. And so there are times when my son is running about shirtless, when I have to stop and say, I'm going to enjoy my son. Right? Enjoy your kids in whatever the state, in whatever the circumstances. And one of the things that I think is so helpful if we want to stop and take time to make decisions, to live our life in a proactive way instead of just reacting, is to consider, okay, what's my role? Now, in the case of motherhood or parenthood, how can I serve them? And how can I surprise them? Otherwise, we will end up being just Martha and not Mary. Now, Jesus didn't say that Martha shouldn't serve, right? Serving is still important, or we're all running around in dirty underwear, right? I do my share of laundry, right? I'm not trying to say whoever's doing the laundry, right? We still serve, but we also should consider in our relationships a goal is to surprise them, right? People wanted to be around Jesus, people who considered themselves far from God. Jesus had a ready laugh and He enjoyed life. And a part of that comes from planning out ways to surprise the people that are in your life. That's really good. I don't know whether you get it or not. That's really good. Now, many of you have had the pleasure of meeting my parents, Ken and Glenda Malman, that have been here a couple of times to be with us and to speak. This book here is one of the few books that my mom has published written that you can find on Amazon.com. It is actually about Mary, and it's called The Journey of a Mother's Heart, and it's encouragement for moms. And I want to read from it something that she wrote, called A Mother's Beatitudes. Is that okay? All right. Blessed is the mother whose children freely laugh, play, and pray, for hers is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Blessed is the mother who cries when she needs to, but does not lack faith, for she will be comforted. Blessed is the mother who has a gentle disposition in the midst of fluctuating emotions of her children, for she will inherit their hearts. Blessed is the mother who hungers for a closer walk with God, for she will be nourished and sustained. Blessed is the mother who is merciful in moments of contradiction, for she will receive mercy in the days that lie ahead. Blessed is the mother who is pure in heart and in spirit, for she will see God and the future in the eyes of her children. Blessed is the mother who is a peacemaker in times of storm, for she will be called trustworthy and true. Blessed is the mother who is disheartened in the journey, for there is hope and a future for her. Blessed is the mother who alone can see her child's potential, for God Himself will be her rear guard. There are in Scripture many, many blessings for mothers. The heart of God is for mothers. There's actually an old Jewish proverb that says, God couldn't be everywhere, so He created mothers. I am so very proud that the mothers that are a part of City Bible Church are such a great representation of the love of God. I applaud you. I congratulate you. I affirm you. You are amazing. And we have moms in this room, both biological and not biological, that represent who God is in your steadfast and faithful love of children. Congratulations. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that says, speaking to God, I will not give to you that which cost me nothing. I see the sacrifices that some of you make. And I want to say as a man that I repent. I confess the sin of other men who've left. Or worse, who stayed but are checked out. As a man, I confess that sin and I repent. And I ask you for forgiveness. Forgiveness is God's way. It is the better way. In bitterness, we try to hold someone else in a jail cell, but really we only hold ourselves in prison. I ask that you today find the forgiveness of God and forgive those men that have never apologized and that don't deserve it. Forgiveness isn't forgiveness if they deserve it. It's not God's mercy, it's not God's grace if they deserve it. In God, there is hope. In God, there is joy that's not a human emotion that fades. In God, there's strength. His love never gives up. It never fails. And if you will choose, continue to choose to give His love away, you will never run out. Amen. Now, we recently talked about Jesus at the well with the woman and talking about the way He said to her, if you only knew who you're talking to, you would ask me, right? For rivers of living water, that which is refreshing, which never runs out. That joy is possible in whatever state we are in today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand and let's close in prayer this morning. God, we love you. We thank you that your promises are sure and that you never fail us. Lord, we thank you for the moms that have been an amazing reflection of your love in our lives. Lord, and we thank you that you can bring healing and strength to us, that in you there is forgiveness that is life-changing. Today we come before you and we ask for miracles of healing where they are needed. We ask for the resolve, the strength to let go of things from the past, from the hurt, Lord, from bitterness. And we ask you to give us your love and your forgiveness for them. Lord, we ask that you would bring strength and that you would bring joy. Lord, we thank you that in you there is true joy and that there is a sacrificial love that loves us expecting nothing in return, that is long, that is steady, that is faithful, that does not give up, that does not fail. We thank you that the living God, in you there is no weakness. In you there is strength and joy. We thank you for the beautiful spring weather and for all the natural things that we can take joy and love in. And even in the flowers of seeing a reflection of your love, the joy in creation. Lord, we pray that you would cover Anna and Kristen, Lord, in their pregnancies and the babies that are on the way. Lord, we pray that you would cover them start to finish. Bring about great strength and health in these babies' lives and help us to encourage each other, to lift each other up today as we enjoy this beautiful Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I definitely would encourage you that if you would like prayer today, to reach out to somebody standing next to you and ask for it. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by people that love you and people that have a lot to give. God bless you. We have something to eat and drink today. Moms, please don't leave without a flower. We love you and we honor you today. Enjoy a great day today. God bless you.